Improving health care through quality improvement organizations, and we have David Melusina.
Good afternoon, and I appreciate the opportunity to share some information from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services about some activities we're doing through our quality improvement organizations. Terrace King, who is the deputy director for our Office of Clinical Standards and Quality, was scheduled to give this talk, but he was unable to make this, so I'm presenting in his stead. Oops, there we go. There's the mouse here. And I have nothing to disclose financially. So I'll be touching on just an overview of some of the activities within CMS related to health disparities and four of the strategic approaches that we're considering in pursuing that topic. I'll touch on a couple of our agency-wide activities related to disparities and then spend most of the time talking about the specific work that will be done through the quality improvement organizations. So our overall goal in terms of health disparities is to improve the health and quality of minority Medicare populations. Now, we've done work on disparities for quite some time at CMS, but we've refocused our attention to it beginning last year in preparation for the new QIO contract, which began this year. So in April of 2007, we formed what we call the CMS Health Disparities Forum. The primary purpose of this forum is to focus on four strategies to improve clinical results for the underserved populations, primarily through the use of quality improvement organizations. The forum also engages in both public and private healthcare stakeholder partnerships. The four approaches or strategies that the forum is focusing on and that are reflected in the QIO contract are shown on this slide, and they focus on the collection of accurate data related to disparities, the implementation of interventions to reduce these disparities, sensitizing relevant stakeholders and provider groups and patients to the existence of disparities and to potential solutions, and also messaging about the topic both at the national and the local level. And I'll give a couple of examples of each of these as we go through this. All right, so in terms of the data, I mentioned we want to improve the race and ethnicity data collection to better assess healthcare disparities and implement the intervention models to improve both the quality and the access to care for underserved beneficiaries. I mentioned the sensitizing relevant groups to these topics and the messaging. So in terms of data, sort of at the agency-wide level, we've been aware that and you've heard, I'm sure, in other sessions, that the accuracy of data related to race and ethnicity leaves a lot to be desired. We've begun working with the Social Security Administration to investigate ways to improve the data that they currently collect and to make that more useful for the types of activities that we're interested in. We've also been exploring the use of what we call a race imputation model, which tries to merge some of the different data elements that are currently collected related to race and ethnicity into better defined groups that can be used for quality improvement purposes. We're exploring the development and use of alternative data collection tools, and the focus of all of this is to improve the capture of data to better describe and assess disparities in care and to appropriately target and tailor the intervention strategies using that data. So at the agency level, one of the things we're doing related to the sensitivity is related to the topic of clinical trials. As many of you may be aware, in many of the large clinical trials, there's a real paucity of representation from minority groups and other underserved groups. And this makes the results of those trials difficult to extrapolate to those groups, and so it's unclear what the recommendations are for those groups. So at CMS, on the broad level, what we're trying to do is to educate providers about Medicare policies related to allowing Medicare beneficiaries to participate in these trials, and also to encourage the conduct of research studies that add to the knowledge base about efficient and effective uses of products and technologies in the Medicare population. But that's sort of on the at the broad Medicare level. More recently, through the Health Disparities Forum, we're beginning to develop a strategic plan to address health disparities as they affect clinical trials. I mentioned the messaging that we're interested in at the national and local level. Some of this is done through the forum itself and working with internal and external stakeholders, such as the Office of Minority Health, the Agency on Aging, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the NIH, to increase program participation and to ensure appropriate services to communities through federal agencies, national partners, and local organizations. But our primary focus at this stage, since the formation of the Healthcare Disparities Forum, has been working through CMS contractors, and that's primarily through our quality improvement organizations. We are planning to expand some of that work through our end-stage renal disease network contractors who do some similar work to the QIOs. And within the QIO program, we've actually awarded a specialized support center contract to coordinate some of these activities at the national level. All right, so I'll spend some time now talking about the current QIO contract. The contract began in August of this year, and this map tries to illustrate sort of what work is being done in different states across the country. For those of you who don't know, Medicare contracts with quality improvement organizations in all 50 states and also the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. And so we have dedicated contractors that focus on several aspects of care relevant to Medicare beneficiaries in each of these areas. On the left-hand side of the slide, it shows the types of work that the QIOs are contracted to do under the contract that began this August. Three of the areas are being done by all QIOs across the country, and this is the work related to beneficiary protection, which is a lot of the statutorily mandated work. They also are all doing work related to patient safety, looking at indicators, quality indicators in surgical care, in nursing home care, and related to medication use and also antibiotic resistance, such as methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. All of the QIOs are doing work in the area of prevention, what we call our core prevention work, which is focused on cancer screening for mammography and colorectal cancer, and also immunizations for flu and pneumococcus. But then we have three areas of work that are not being done by every QIO. These we refer to as our subnational themes. And these were awarded on a competitive basis to a select number of QIOs. One of these is in the prevention area, focusing on disparities in diabetes care, and I'll be talking in some more detail about that. We also have a prevention area focusing on chronic kidney disease prevention. And then finally, we have a theme known as care transitions, which is looking at transitions of care, coordination of care between settings in an effort to reduce hospital readmissions and to improve the overall quality of care that occurs as patients move across the healthcare continuum. Now, even before the current contract, which began in August, there was some work being done by the QIOs related to healthcare disparities. In their last contract, they did some work using a tool called the CLASS tool, which stands for Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Services. And they worked with a select group of practices to get them to assess their use of these services and to try to improve their use of these services. In that work across the country, they engaged 1,625 physician practice sites. And of these, about 94% met the goal of completing the CLASS tool. And so this was laying some groundwork for some of the sensitivity issues that I mentioned in our disparities work. But in the current contract, in our disparities subnational theme, I mentioned that we're focusing on diabetes. And so a couple of slides for those of you who don't realize the importance of diabetes. It is the fifth deadliest disease in the U.S. There's no cure for it, and it's related to a number of other important chronic conditions. It's very expensive in terms of health care cost, and there's obviously a high prevalence and incidence in this country. But more importantly, from a disparities perspective, diabetes does not affect everyone equally. And so there's good evidence that there are certain groups that are more commonly affected by diabetes, predominantly the American Indians, Alaskan Natives, non-Hispanic Blacks, and Hispanic Latinos. And so this is one of the reasons why CMS selected this medical condition to focus on in our disparities theme. All right, so I mentioned that of our four strategies, data was the first one that we focus on. And so I'll spend a couple of slides talking about our approach to data as we were trying to develop and target the work on diabetes for disparities. So initially, we wanted to first find the patients who had diabetes in the Medicare population. So we used our Medicare fee-for-service claims to identify those beneficiaries who had a code of diabetes on their claim. We also made use of what's known as a surname imputation model, which looks at the beneficiary name, primarily their last name, and tries to use that as additional information to correctly assign them to a racial and ethnic group. Using these two sources of data, we identified 33 states that had a sufficient number of diabetic Medicare beneficiaries in an underserved population. As our next data step, we wanted to look at the quality of care that was being delivered related to diabetes in these selected states. And so we looked at three measures that could be determined from Medicare claims data. These are the use of the hemoglobin A1C test, testing for lipids and cholesterol, and also diabetic eye examinations. And so we merged these three into an aggregate appropriate diabetes care measure and looked at that at the national level and stratified by race and ethnicity to identify those states that had the greatest need in terms of diabetes quality care. And this map shows sort of the breakdown of that second phase of data analysis. And so we identified five states that had a high need, and they're shown in red. And so then we combined that information with the information related to the number of diabetic beneficiaries. And those were important factors in selecting these states which we contracted for the subnational disparities work. So we used that data to target. We also looked at the justification provided by each applicant in their proposal and also their intervention approach that was proposed. And we're currently working with the five states listed on this slide in our subnational disparities work. All right, so what are these five states doing for disparities? Well, we dubbed the work that they're doing every diabetic counts. Again, this began in August of 2008. And primarily, and this is where the health education component comes in, these QIOs are working with providers and community organizations to recruit Medicare beneficiaries to participate in a health education activity. They will be providing diabetes self-management training through either certified diabetes educators and or community health workers based on the DEEP training model. The DEEP model is the Diabetes Education and Empowerment Program, which is a program, a CMS-approved program that was developed at the University of Chicago that was primarily targeting African-American and Hispanic patients. The QIOs will also be engaging community and local organizations and forming partnerships to help in this recruitment effort. QIOs will be evaluated on three clinical outcomes for the patients that they successfully recruit into these programs, and they will be looking at cholesterol testing and results, blood pressure management, and diabetic eye examination. Another part of this, every diabetic counts work will be conducting health education using a model that was published in a study by Babamoto, which was using community health workers in order to conduct diabetes education for primarily Hispanic patients. We're also making use of some pilot work that was done in the state of Florida in the QIO contract in the previous 3 years. And the goal of this is to have evidence-based diabetes self-management education for these underserved populations and to implement culturally appropriate community-based diabetes management programs. All right, so what's next? I mentioned this contract just started in August, so they're just a couple of months into it. So we don't have any results or anything to present at this stage. So right now we're at the national level, we're focusing on building partnerships for our Every Diabetic Counts program that can be used to facilitate the work in these five states. We're trying to communicate the message at a national level, not only for this program, but for all health disparities that affect our beneficiaries. And we're working with these QIOs to perfect their strategy for recruitment, not only the recruitment of the patients into the educational programs, but also the recruitment of the community resources to facilitate that work. Now, as a public health audience, I think we are looking for your involvement to help us out, again, not only for this Every Diabetic Counts program, but for all of our disparities work. You can certainly serve as a trusted resource to communicate efforts that are going on and volunteer to help educate your local communities about diabetes care. You can speak at forums, meetings, town hall, and conferences on the topic. Or you can also serve, for those of you who are doing specific work in either diabetes or disparities work, you can serve as experts on our healthcare disparities forum or on our technical expert panels that advise those forums. And in general, just we're looking for anyone who is willing to work with CMS on ways to educate the public about healthcare disparities and the interventions to reduce those. I mentioned we have a national support contractor to support this work, and their toll-free number is given on the bottom of this slide. Unfortunately, don't have their, I think they have a website, but I don't have that in my slides. But I'm sure if you call that number, they can provide that for you. And so that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your presentation.